Why don't we pray and then we will, I was going to say sing together. Just did that. We'll read the Bible together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving. Thank you for these moments that we can be together and raise our voice in song to you and profess our love for you and open your word. And as we read, hear your voice speak to us. So now, God, as we read together, I pray that you would speak through your word, that you would help us understand and apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so today we got to talk about life's problems. All the things that, the bad things that happen to us in life or that might happen to us. And also in the Psalms, find something that will be great help, I think, for us as we face life's difficulties and the uncertainty that life brings. And obviously, this is for all of us. Some messages you could say, well, it's, you know, Mother's Day message for mothers. This one's for everybody because we all have problems. We have problems with other people or family or our health or money. There's problems in life. We know that. And we have problems in the moment. So, you know, whatever your list, hopefully it's a small list of problems that you have right now. But also there's a probably much bigger list of things that could happen. The bad stuff that we know. Someday this will happen or could happen or probably will happen. And problems, uncertainty, difficulties take us down a path where we do two things. One is, we tend to worry. We get stressed. We not just because of what's happening now, but the worst kind of worry, at least for me, is I think about the future and it's like, oh, and what if this and then that and this other thing and will that be enough? And we worry. And so what makes you feel stress and worry in your life right now? And the second thing that problems lead us into is we look for help. We try to find a way out of the problems we want. I remember when I was much, much younger. I was probably still a teenager. I don't know. I was young. Anyway, took a trip with some friends. And it was badly planned, and we didn't think about anything. We just went. And turns out none of us brought money. Like, we had 20 bucks between us. We didn't find this out until the transmission went out on my car. And we were in a town a long ways away from anybody we knew in the middle of nowhere and didn't have any money, didn't have a car, and it was getting dark. And first thing I did, picked up a phone and called my mom. Collect, of course. Called my mom. That's we look for help. When we have problems or uncertainty, we look for someone who will help us, who will protect us, who will help us resolve whatever will resolve the problem. We look for that help in what we have. If I have enough, if I have stuff, if I have a place to go and I live and if something is paid for and if I have a car, if I have this, if I get enough money, if I have insurance, and we find our help in what we have. Sometimes we find our help in other people. My dad always gets me out of problems or maybe, you know, I always call that one friend who has a pickup truck who's always able to help me. We look for help from other people, and many, many times we look for help inside of us. We go to the mirror and we say, I can do this. I know that I can. If somebody's going to do it, I'll do it. If it's going to be done right, I'll do it. I know everything will be okay because I know that I'm able to do what is needed to be done, so I'll just buckle down and get to work. Who do you seek out when you have problems? Who's that person for you? What do you trust in? Is it because that's the word trust. We come to trust whatever it is that helps us, whatever we think will help us in our problems. We come to depend on certain people or money or our abilities that we have. We always seek our help there. We feel secure because that person's in my life and I know they always help me. That makes me feel peace. The problem is that nothing in life is secure. Including the things that we trust in for our security. Look at Psalm chapter 62 or Psalm 62. I don't think you have to say chapter in Psalms, do you? Psalm 62. It describes this dynamic. Psalm 62, look at verse, we'll start in verse 9. We'll jump around to this one. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, and together they are lighter than a breath. What's he saying? People are, you can't trust in people. They're just an illusion, a breath. Put no hope in extortion, or is that no vain hope in robbery? And hopefully most of us say, well, yeah, that, don't put my hope in that. But then look at the next one. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. He's saying you can't trust in people or in stuff you have. They can't truly help us and save us. Money and possessions that we have are unstable. They can be lost in a moment. And some of us have lived long enough that we've seen that. You have and then you don't have. All of a sudden, people that helped us before, all of a sudden aren't able to help us tomorrow when we need help. The abilities that sustain us now that we have get lost, are lost over time. Our strength and our health can be lost in a moment. We seek help and rescue. We base our security on things that are not secure. And then God enters. God comes in. Stay in Psalm 62, because in the same psalm, God comes in and he tells us what can give us absolute security in every moment of our life and death. Psalm 62, verse 1. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. We can trust in God. He's unmovable. He is strong. He is our salvation. He is what is solid in our lives. The big idea, look at verse 2, what we just read. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. From that, we see our big idea for today. Only God is worthy of our trust. Only God is worthy of our trust. Look at verse 3. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, tottering fence? They plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. He's expressing the confidence he expressed in verses 1 through 2. If you look at 3 through 4, facing problems, big problems, difficulties that humanly you would say, that's impossible. That won't work out for you. And then verse 5, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. Hope and trust intimately connected, right? He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My God, oh God, on God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust him at all times, oh people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God's children should trust in him and only in him. If we know him, if we are his children, we should put all of our trust in our Father every moment, no matter what life brings our way. So why can we and why should we trust in God and put our trust only in God? The answer comes from what we looked at last week. We're going to do 1 week, we'll look at something about God, and then the next week, something the Psalms say about us. So we'll go back and forth. This is an us one, but it's related to the one we saw last week about God. What do we see last week? God is the sovereign king that rules and reigns over all. And that is why we can trust in him. He is the king. And if we have surrendered to Jesus, if we are his children, he loves us and he is our Father and he promises to take care of us. Look at Psalm 20, verse 1. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. God is the great king. He is all powerful. He knows everything. He governs all. And his children, like David is demonstrating there, should extend our hands to him in need. And he responds with power. Look at verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. In the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. He takes care of us and he fills us with joy and praise. Verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Oh God, save the king. May he answer us when we call. People around us trust in what they have. Modernize what he said. Chariots, horses, people. We trust in houses and our car and our money and our job. And we trust in other people and we trust in our own strength and intelligence. That's what everyone does. But only God is truly worthy of that confidence. Only he is strong. Only he sustains us. Only he truly helps us. Only he always responds when we cry out to him. Only God is worthy of our trust because he is the great king of the universe. That's why we are to trust God. What does it mean then to trust God? It means... in any situation, turning to him, seeking his guidance. What do you want me to do? Asking for his help. Here's my problem. What? Please, help. It's finding peace. Trusting God is finding peace and security because we trust in him. Trusting God is having faith in God. See, we talk about having faith, right? Faith and trust are the same thing. And so today what we're looking at is what it means in our daily lives to truly trust God, to have faith in him. Look at Psalm 17. In this psalm, we see an incredible example of this kind of faith, of what it means to truly trust God. It starts to answer the question for us, what does it mean then? If I'm supposed to trust God, what does that look like? Psalm 17, verse 1. Excuse me. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who would do me violence, from my enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity. From their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion sitting in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword. I apologize because we jumped from verse 2 to verse 6, which you probably eventually saw. David is in big trouble. God has big problems. He has a huge amount of need. And in that need, what does he do? He looks to God. He cries out to God. He depends only on God, completely on God. Not God and then a little bit of me. It's only God. Here's what trusting in God is not. If that's what trusting in God is not trusting that he will do what we want him to do. When we say, I know he's going to heal me. I know that he's going to give me this new job. I know that I'm going to find a wife. That's not trusting in God. If we put in the word can, I know that he can heal me. That's faith. But if we say, I know he will, that's not trusting in God. That's false faith. That's trusting in my will, what I want, and my ability to force God to do what I want. Truly trusting God is trusting that he is a king who governs. It's believing that, the core of my being. It's trusting that he knows best, that he sees everything, that his perspective is complete, and my perspective is incomplete. He knows everything, all the factors. He knows what's going to happen in the future. He knows what other people are going to decide and what they're going to do. Trusting God is trusting that he has a plan, that he knows what should happen, that he has a plan for my life, and he has a plan for everyone else's life around me, and he has a plan for the whole world, for everything that's happening. And no, it's trusting that he works all things according to his plan. Ephesians 1 verse 11, it says, I'll read the whole thing, but the second half, look at the second half. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Trusting God is trusting that He will do what is best, that He will guide me to what is best, that He will tell me to do what is best, that the best will happen, the best as defined by His glory, what is best for His glory, for His eternal plan, and what is best for His children, even in the moment when I say, that doesn't seem to be best for me. I don't think that's best. That's not the right thing. According to what I see and what I want, look at this trust that David puts in God at the end of Psalm 17. I should have told you we're going to go back there. Psalm 17, look at verse 15. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Putting all of our trust in God is trusting in His guidance. I don't know the future, but He does. So I can trust my Father as He guides me, and I'll do whatever He says to do. It's trusting Him for our needs. The world isn't certain. It's very uncertain. But I trust my Father loves me. And if He feeds the birds of the air, He will give me what I need as well. It's trusting in Him when everything is unsure, with everything that is unsure. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust in the One that sees everything, and He knows what will happen before it happens, and He will guide me. It's trusting in Him for all of our eternity. I don't know what will happen after I die. It hasn't happened yet. But I trust the One who has promised me eternal life. When we have doubts and need and insecurity, trusting is believing with all of our heart that God is King and He loves me and I am in His hands and He knows everything and He can do everything and He will take care of us and He will guide us. It's seeking His will and His guidance. It's seeking our help in Him. And then it's resting in the peace of knowing that our trust is placed in God. So, what do we do? What's the application from this? If you're not a Christian, you should put your trust in God by surrendering to Him. That's the essence of the decision that we make when we surrender to Jesus. I'm going to follow you. When we repent and are baptized in that moment, we're deciding to put our trust in God, to give Him our life, to follow His will, to trust Him for everything. And if you're not a Christian and you're hearing this, when you're ready to surrender to Jesus, tell one of us. You can repent, you can be baptized, you can put your trust in Him, you can become a child of God. For those of us who are Christians, what should we do? We should battle to trust in God in those moments when we are not trusting in Him. Because if we're Christians, we have faith in God, we've put our trust in Him. But there are moments when we don't trust in Him. How do we know when that is? How can we know when we're not trusting God? Our emotions, many times, can serve as a gauge, like your gas gauge in your car, to tell us how much or how little we're trusting in God. There are certain moments. There are certain moments certain emotions that we feel that tell us in that moment, I'm not trusting in God. When I feel things like anxiety, we feel worry, not an emotion, but when complaint is bubbling out of us, when we feel stress or frustration or anger, when we feel those kinds of emotions, we can know in that moment, I'm trusting in something else other than God. And in those moments when I'm not trusting in God, we should battle to put our trust in God in that moment. So how do we do that? How do we battle in that moment? We see I'm not trusting in God. I'm worried. I'm stressed out. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. Okay, my trust is placed in something other than Him. So what? How do I battle to put my trust in God? It's by confessing, like David did. We see it in the Psalms. We see it in what we read today. It's by confessing in those moments. Do you think David wasn't worried and stressed in those moments? I'm sure he was. And that's why he was battling. That's why he was confessing his hope in God. That's why he was saying, my trust is in You. He was saying it. If he's anything like me, he was saying it because he had to, because if he didn't, his trust was in something else. And that was consuming him. It's saying, I believe, I trust in you. You're the king of the universe. I trust in you, God. In this moment, I trust in you. It's crying out to him and expressing our need. So I trust in you, and this thing is happening, and I need your help. Isn't that what David did? We saw example after example of that. It's asking for his guidance. It's saying, what do you want me to do? It's saying in that moment, help me. Tell me what to do. Would you do what needs to be done here? And do your will, not mine. Like even Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. That is battling to trust in God. And when we do that, look at Psalm 13, verse 5. We can say with David, as he says in this psalm, all of Psalm 13 is good. I know we didn't read it, but just let's read verse 5 and 6. David says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Only God is worthy of our trust. And where do we see that more than at the cross? In the cross, God worked in our favor. He sacrificed himself to rescue us from the danger and the uncertainty and the worst thing that faces us, that could ever face us. We had rebelled against the King of the universe. And even before we put our trust in him, when we were still his enemies, in anticipation of our future trust that we would place in him, he gave himself up for us to save us. And if he has given us that great salvation, how can we not trust him with the rest of our lives, with all the other much smaller things that worry us as we go through lives? He has us in his hands. He holds us. And the cross shows that and proves that to us. So let's remember Jesus together. As we take the bread and the cup, they represent his body and his blood shed on the cross. God, today we profess together the faith that we have in you. We trust you, God. We confess that many times we don't act like it, but we do. We trust you because you are the great King of the universe. We trust you because you love us. And in Christ, you've adopted us in your family. We trust you because we could call you Father. We know that you hear us. We trust you, God, because so many times that you have heard our cries and you've done what you knew needed to be done, and you've done things that we could never have imagined having happened, and you made a way when there was no way, and you've done that in the past, so we trust you now and we trust you in the future. And as we look to Jesus on the cross and we remember what he did for us, we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.